Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyanandana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master Srila Prabhupada opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara, the cyclic succession of spiritual masters and disciples. So thank you very much for coming on this auspicious day. Of course, it was a few days ago we actually had the anniversary of the lifting of the hill, but we like to celebrate these holidays on Sunday, if possible, so many of you can come who otherwise couldn't. So we're celebrating this wonderful pastime of Lord Krishna's on this day. And what we will do tonight, I would like to recount the pastime of Krishna's lifting the hill. This is a special pastime for this yatra, or this temple, of course. This is known as New Govardhan Dham. We especially commemorate this pastime with Krishna. You see in every corner, you see the nice little sculptures there of Krishna lifting the hill. Very nicely done. And the deity, of course, is Radha Giridhari. If some of you may not know exactly what that means, Giri is a word for hill, in this case referring to Govardhan Hill. And Hari means the lifter. So this whole temple commemorates this wonderful pastime of Krishna lifting the hill to protect his power community. So before I begin, I'm going to read one verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam as translated and commented on by Srila Prabhupada. So before we do that, we should chant. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this is San Diego. It's the 30th of October, 2011. And we're very fortunate. We don't have to worry. Tomorrow is a national holiday. Halloween, right? It's the most observed holiday in the country that I know of. I'm kidding. Most of you have to work, and I'm sure it's a school day. But in any case, we're reading today from Canto 10, Chapter 8 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, translated and commentated upon by Srila Prabhupada. And this chapter is entitled, Lord Krishna Shows the Universal Form. Now, the reason why I'm reading this verse is that in the commentary on this pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill, as given by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he describes how the residents of Vrindavan, when Indra started raining down this torrents of rain, they remembered this instruction, this statement from Garga Muni. Garga Muni was the priest of the Yadu dynasty, and he came to Vrindavan and he performed a secret name-giving ceremony for Krishna. The reason it was secret, because they was afraid that a Kamsa would find out that Krishna was actually Devaki's son. So they remember this line, and this is kind of a key instruction that we're going to get from this pastime. And the verse is as follows, text 16 of this chapter. Eshava Shreya Adasyad Gopa Gokala Nandana Anena Sabadurgani Yuyam Anjas Tarishyata. Which means to increase the transcendental bliss of the cowherd men of Gokula, this child, Krishna, who was just a little baby at that time, will always act auspiciously for you, and by his grace only, you will surpass all difficulties. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, short purport, for the coward men and the cows, Krishna is the supreme friend. Therefore, he is worshipped by the prayer, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Which means that his pastimes in Gokula, his dhamma, are always favorable to the Brahmins and the cows. His first business is to give all comfort to the cows and the Brahmins. In fact, comfort for the Brahmins is secondary. And comfort for the cows is his first concern. Because of his presence, all the people would overcome all difficulties and always be situated in transcendental bliss. So now we see, as I recount this pastime, why it's so important, this instruction of Garga Muni. So what happened was that one day Krishna was herding his cows, and he was 7 years old at this time. And he saw that the cowherd men had prepared an elaborate sacrifice. They had gathered all kinds of grain and ghee and all other items, and the Brahmins were all ready to chant. And so Krishna, he understood what this sacrifice was for. This was a yearly sacrifice that the cowherd men would perform to propitiate Lord Indra. Lord Indra is the king of heaven, and he's in charge of the rain. And so it's very important for any agricultural community to have the right amount of rain fall at the right time, not too much, not too little, so that they can prosper. So they regarded Indra as a very important demigod for them, and they performed this. So Krishna knew this, but he approached his father and he questioned him about this sacrifice. And he's a 7-year-old boy approaching all the leaders of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, the senior Brahmins, and he started asking a question. He said, "My dear father, please tell me what this sacrifice is all about. Is it an official sacrifice, or is it something that is traditional for our community? Who is it for? What's the purpose of it, and how are you going to do it?" So, as Srila Prabhupada explains in his Krishna book, at first, Nanda Maharaj was reluctant to tell his son. He seemed like, well, it's just like if a 7-year-old boy comes into his father's office at home and his father's paying his taxes. You know, he's writing out the income taxes and getting ready to send it in. And the son wants to know, what's it all about? Well, the father, what can he understand about the taxes and I have to pay, otherwise I would get in trouble. So he may just write him off. So it was like that at first, but Krishna insisted. He said, "My dear father, I'm part of your community. I'm part of your family. You shouldn't hesitate to tell me about these things." So Krishna has a way of speaking, especially to the Vrajvasis, that just charms their heart, and eventually he wins them over, whatever he wants to do. So his father then explained, just as I said, that this is a sacrifice we perform because Indra, he controls the rain. And we're an agricultural community, so we need to appreciate Indra. So Krishna then started to speak atheist philosophy. The Supreme Personality of God, and he's speaking atheist philosophy. In order to anger Indra and to stop the sacrifice. So this atheist philosophy is called Karma Mimamsa. Karma Mimamsa. And he said, what do we have to worry about Indra for? Actually, your karma, your activity, determines your future. If we've done our duties nicely as Vaishyas, then Indra, he's just like a bureaucrat. He's just like, he has to give us the prosperity that we deserve. You know, you don't have to worry about Indra personally. Just like if you go to you go to the state capital, you know, and you have your proper papers and you're ready, you know, then the clerk has no independent, you know, say, well, I don't like the way this person looks there, I'm not going to serve them. Or you go to the DMV, and everyone knows about the DMV, right? So it's not like they have this person's nice, this person isn't nice. No, they're just functionaries, you know. So that's what he's saying, that Indra, if he has any power at all, he has to fulfill our karma. So really, we should just worship work. We should worship karma. And since our work is as Vaishyas, we're a coward community, Vaishyas have basically 4 functions. They do business, they lend money, they protect the cow protection, and they do trade. And that one is finance, you know, lend it like that. So, of course, Krishna's community was cow protection. That was the whole. So he says, if we simply take care of that which is helping us in that work, then we don't have to worry about Indra. You know? And you take the same paraphernalia that you've collected for the Indra Jagya, and you worship the Brahmins, and you worship the cows, and you worship the hill. Now, why is this hill called Govardhan Hill? Because it's a combination of 2 words, Go and Vardhana. Vardhana means to nourish or increase, and go, of course, is the cows. That's the main meaning. So the hill has gourmet grass for the cows. Very nice. They love to eat that specific grass. And very nice little streams where they can drink water, you see. And it also is very nice for the cow herds, headed by Krishna, cowherd boys. There's caves in there where you can hide. Can you imagine? Just imagine yourself as a 7 or 8-year-old boy. And you're looking for a nice, you know, place to play. A cave in a mountain? Boy, that's ideal. So, it has caves, it has edible roots and fruits, and it's a wonderful place for Krishna's cows and for Krishna's cowherd boys. And so it's known as Govardhana Hill. And so he said, now you just circumambulate the Brahmins and the cows, and especially Govardhana Hill, after performing this worship, We have the Brahmins here. They can chant the mantras. But chant the mantras in glorification of the Brahmins and the cows and the hill. And then you circumambulate nicely. Actually, first he said, you feed everybody. You feed everybody from the Brahmins down to the dogs and the dog eaters. Everybody gets fed on Govardhan Puja. Part of it is called Annakuta, which means a mountain of food. And in the day, there are various descriptions of this pastime. All the different villages would bring all the food that they had, and they would offer it to the hill. So the cowherds, following Krishna's advice, they started performing this sacrifice. Everybody was fed. Then they started circumambulating the hill very nicely. And to this day, this is commemorated. If you go to Vrindavan, you go to Govardhan, one of the most wonderful pastimes is to walk around the hill, chanting Krishna's Leela, chanting Krishna's name. And part of that walk, you hit Radhakund, you know, and it's just very auspicious. So they did that, and then everyone was blissful, naturally. Everyone felt nicely fed, and they all went around the hill, and then they all went home. But Indra wasn't happy. He was furious. Now, Indra, this is part of his nature. Indra easily becomes proud of his position. He's the king of heaven. He has all influence. He has so much power. He has so much wealth. He has dancing girls, and he has everything. And he easily forgets that he's a servant of Krishna, that he's a servant of God. And so he was deeply offended. And in fact, I wrote a little poem. He said, this was some time ago. And it says, when Krishna stopped King Indra's sacrifice, that monarch of the heavens threw a fit. Those cowards took that foolish boy's advice. Such insolence I never shall permit. So Indra sent the clouds of devastation to pour down catastrophic hail and rain with lightning, winds, and thunder without cessation. The cowards called to Krishna in their pain to show his coward friends his boundless love and crush King Indra's pride for his own good. Sri Krishna lifted Govardhan above and saved his friends while neath the hill they stood. So that's kind of a little summary of it. So what Indra did, he called the Samvartaka clouds. Now he's in charge of the clouds. So these particular clouds are meant for the end of the universe. You know, at the end of the universe, there's this big fire that burns everything, and there's a huge flood that just inundates everything. So that's what these clouds do. They just keep raining until the whole universe is filled with water. So now he called these particular clouds. And there's various, you know, commentaries. They didn't want to do it. They knew that this was not good, you know, to try to attack Krishna and his coward. But he insisted, and they're his servants after all. He said, don't worry, I'll follow you on my elephant, Airavata. Airavata is a special mount that Indra has, and he appeared from the ocean of milk. And so this is what happens. So the Samvartaka clouds come, and they start, and then there's the wind gods also. They're also Indra's servants. They're whipping up these winds, these hurricane winds. So suddenly, out of season, there's pillars of rain, you know, coming down. It wasn't just droplets. Pillars of rain coming down. Ashmavarsha, which means iron rain or hailstones. Thunderbolts, constant winds, hurricane winds, and of course lightning. So all of this is coming down. It describes that it inundated Vrindavan, and soon you couldn't tell low land from high. In other words, all the low parts, they were all filled up with water. And the cows and the cowherds, so they, now, here's the key point, and that's why I read this verse. Let's just come up to the present day for a moment. Just, what, yesterday, there was this completely unseasonable a snowstorm in the Northeast. I read on the internet, it's got to be true, that there are 2.5 million people who can't have no electricity. This is unheard of, you know? Now, what happens when this storm started? Were people coming out of their houses, or were they staying in their houses and calling out, Krishna, please save me? No, you know? They were trying to figure out how they could, running down to the store to buy any candles that were there so that they'd have some light, you know, figuring out all kind of material ways that they could kind of deal with it, hunkering down. But they weren't praying to God to save them, generally. I mean, there must have been some. But the idea is that when this devastates, and this is even more devastating, this is really threatening their lives, the cows, everything will be drowned. They didn't say, oh, why did that boy convince us not to perform? They see, this is what happens. Just see. You know, Krishna, you got us into trouble. No, not at all. They remembered this verse I just chanted from Garga Muni, which says, if you take shelter of this boy, you will cross over all difficulty. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Matchitta Savadugani, Matpasara Tadishasi, Atachetram Ahankaram, Nashoshasi, Nanakshasi. Which says, if you take shelter of me, means you become Krishna conscious, and you rely on Krishna, then you can, as Krishna says here, you cross over all difficulties by my grace. Matpasara Tadishasi. But if out of false ego, out of pride, out of illusion, you don't take shelter of me, you will be destroyed. So, the cowards being pure devotees of Krishna, they took shelter of Krishna, even in the darkest hour, please save me. Now Krishna, he has taken a vow to always protect the residents of Vrindavan. So he says to himself, there's a few verses, well, I have taken this vow, and they are my friends, and I love them. And so he lifted the hill. He lifted the hill. It describes Krishna Chakravarti in his commentary that from the porch of his house he ran to the hill, and by his mystic potency he dried up all the rain at that second, and he didn't get wet. And then he lifts that hill, and he lifts it high enough so that they all. He said, "Now come on under the hill. This will serve as a big umbrella. And don't worry, it will not fall from my hand." He said, "Now you can imagine. Here's a 7-year-old boy holding up this." Several billion ton hill with his pinky, left pinky, not even the right pinky, but the left pinky. And he said, don't worry, you'll be all right. Now here's another act of faith. You know, the cowards are saying, okay, we trust Krishna, you see, that he will protect us. Even though it doesn't look materially like this is going to work out. And then, so they're under the hill. Now what happens under the hill, of course they're protected, but suddenly all of the coward community, you know, from the elders to the youngsters, the coward boys and the coward girls, and everybody, they all have Krishna's association intimately, you know, together. And everybody described, they forget about eating, sleeping, or drinking anything. They're just relishing the beauty of Krishna's face and his wonderful glances and relishing how he's protecting them. And as far as Krishna goes, he's also relishing the exchange of love there, and he's also forgetting about eating, sleeping, or anything else. So for 7 days and nights, he's holding like that. Now during that time, there's all kinds of pastimes that go on, which I won't explain. This is explained by the Acharyas. But one of the things that happened, and that's why you sometimes see paintings like that, that Mother Yashoda and Nanda and others like that, they don't know that Krishna's God. They think that, you know, he's been empowered to hold this hill up, and maybe he won't be empowered, maybe next minute, you know. So they say, Nanda and all you coward men, why are you letting Krishna do all this work by himself? You know, please help him. And so you see them with their sticks, right? They're also helping him. You know, and then she's thinking, oh, he must be getting hungry. So she's feeding him. She's putting yogurt and fruit in his mouth. So much work holding up that hill, you know. In the Nectar of Devotion of Bhakti Samana Sindhu, it describes that Krishna looked at the gopis and, you know, he was getting attracted, and he started trembling a little bit in ecstasy, and the hill started going like this, you know. And he was wondering, what's going to happen now? So there are all kinds of things that happen. So, but the main thing that happened as it goes on is that, you know, Indra is amazed and humbled by this. He's, you know, the rain's coming, and after 7 days he realizes, I've challenged someone who I shouldn't have challenged. So he stops the rain, and the sun comes out. And so Krishna says, now look, see the sun is out, now you can go out. So gradually, first the men take the cows out, then the ladies and the elders, you know, go gradually out there. And when everyone is clear, Krishna puts the hill right back down where it was before. And now, at this point, you know, all of the residents of Vrindavan, they have had this, you know, a powerful emotional relation with Krishna. The rasas have been flowing, the mellows of love, and they all greet him as appropriate. The elders, and which includes Balaram, he's a little older than Krishna, the parents, they all embrace him, you know. His coward friends, they pat him on the back, You know, well done, well done. The youngers, you know, they bow down, they you know, touch his Lord's feet like that. And then he goes, you know, then he takes his cows and he goes off herding again, you know, interrupted. And so this is what happens. Now Indra, he was of course humbled in this, and he wanted to go and offer prayers, but Krishna, being very sensitive, he arranged so that he would do it in a secluded place. And so he and Surabhi, she came from Goloka, but it's a different Goloka. I don't know if you know, there's two of them. One is in the material world, and it's a planet of cows. Surabhi is the mother of all the cows in this world, and these are all these ancestral cows live on Goloka in the material world. It's different from Goloka Vrindavan. So she came down there, and Indra came down, and he offered his prayers and basically apologized, started glorifying Krishna as the cause of all causes, and you're very merciful, and you always forgive your servants, right? Yes, yeah, yeah. And so he hoped that he wouldn't be punished by Yamaraj, you know. So, I mean, he's a devotee, you know, and Krishna knew it would happen again, you know, it happened again with the Parijata flower. Indra, periodically, because he's so wealthy and so influential, he becomes prideful and needs to be brought low. But here, he offered his prayers, Surabhi offered his prayers, and then they perform Abhishek. From the milk from Surabhi came, she offered the milk, and Indra, the celestial Ganges came down, and through the trunk of Airavata, he also bathed Krishna, so this wonderful Abhishek is going on. And then the cowards, they called Krishna our Indra, the Lord, the Indra of the calves, or the Indra of the cows. And actually, at that point, he got the name Govinda. That's where the first time he revealed Govinda, the pleaser and protector of the cows, Govinda's cows again. So this is the pastime we're reenacting. We have this wonderful hill. And there are several lessons to be learned, and I'll just summarize really quickly. The first lesson, we don't have to worship any other gods. This comes out very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, only those whose minds have been bewildered by material desire worship any other god beside me. And then, according to their nature, they worship this god, that god, or whatever. You know. And you may get something from the god, or the goddess. You may get it. But Krishna says, it's actually offered by me. But that kind of boon is temporary. It's not permanent. So he says, antavattu palam tesham, tantavat alpamedesham. Who knows what alpamedesham is? You'd raise your hand.
Meager brain.
Yes. a little bit of intelligence. In other words, you're not very bright. You know? You simply worship Krishna. Sarva dharma but mam ek kam means one. Sadhanam bhaja. Elsewhere he says, those who worship me with one-pointed attention, ananyas, without diverting their mind, I carry what they need. I provide their yoga and kshema. In order to live in this world, we need yoga and kshema. Yoga means the things you need, a livelihood, you need a house, you need some food, all of those things. And kshema means your safety and your welfare. Krishna says, I personally carry it. Now, if we don't have faith, then we go elsewhere. We go to some politician, we have faith in other things. But Krishna says that ultimatum. So this is a test. Just worship Krishna and your welfare will be assured. This is the first lesson. Another lesson, of course, is that Krishna, he takes care. He protects. This is the maintenance and also the protection. And in the darkest hour of our life, the best thing we can do is call out to Krishna. We need the training of to become a devotee means to be to train yourself and train your mind so that at every instance you're relying on Krishna, in prosperity or in poverty, in danger or in safety, you're always thinking of Krishna positively. It's not easy because we're conditioned to try to take shelter of other things, to try to figure out our own way of dealing with this world. But Krishna is the master of this world. Krishna is in charge of everything. And he promises that if you take shelter of me, I will protect you. Now, we may not see that at first, just like Queen Kunti. at the end of the Mahabharata war. So many tribulations they went through, the Pandavas, didn't they? You know the story. But at the end, she says, you promised you would take care of us. And at the end, yes, we came out successful. You see? So after all, it's at the end that what counts. You know, it's the final thing that happens that really counts in our lives. So this is a wonderful pastime, and also Krishna will provide food for everybody. He will also maintain and provide everything. So now, if there are any comments or questions, just a few minutes, we can entertain them. This is the outline of the pastime. There's so much more that could be said, but time is limited, and there's much more to be done. We need to circumambulate the hill, and then honor prasadam. So anyone has any comments or questions on this wonderful pastime of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill and saving everyone? Yes, sir?
I remember you said that there were two...
two what?
Like, you said that there was something in the material world and then there was something in another world?
Yes. Yes, two planets of Goloka. There's two Golokas.
Where was the other?
There's a Goloka in this material world. It's a heavenly planet. It's a higher planet where the main cows live. The cows from whom all these cows on this planet are descended. And the mother of all of them is Surabhi. You see? But there's also Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna's personal planet in the spiritual world. And that, you know, that's on a different plane. That's never destroyed. Okay? It's also called Goloka because cows are prominent there also. Very good question, by the way. Okay. Thank you very much for your attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.